All right, it is Tuesday, February 7th. Sun shining. Sun isn't setting until after 5:30. You can feel kind of progress happening, right? Hope you're having a good day. Glad you're spending some time with us. It is Tuesday, and on Tuesdays at 4 o'clock, we do our DeRussia Eats segment. DeRussia Eats is brought to you by the Minnesota Pork Board and by Liquor Boy. And we have just a powerhouse couple with us today. Started with an ice cream shop and has grown into so much more. Gabby Grant Spangler and Ben Spangler, it's so good to have you both with us here on DeRussia Eats.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.
You guys started off with kind of a scoop shop, right? Is that how it started?
Well,
I guess you didn't have a brick and mortar
first. No, we were only pop ups. We would carry like a 200-pound, 300-pound chest freezer and go serve ice cream in parking lots.
Which sounds as sketchy as it was.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's no sugarcoating that. It was right. At events, but
over ice sometimes.
Over ice.
Yeah.
In storms.
But you had unique flavors,
yep.
And in Ben, your history is as a pastry chef, right?
Yep. Yeah. My background is a formally trained chef and pastry chef. So I think I have like maybe 7 years of each.
You've worked at some of the best restaurants in town. Some of your favorites that you worked at before you did your own thing?
Yeah, I was very fortunate enough to work with actually downtown. Right here was Zalo for a really long time in Bacho Group. And then I worked at Mercy as the executive chef. And then I've also worked on farms in Wisconsin. So kind of a little bit of everything.
And Gabby, what's your background?
I'm trained as an interior architect and designer. So I was more of the front of house for our company, as well as marketing and then designing our brick and mortar locations as well.
Valentine's week is coming. how did you two become an item?
We met on Tinder.
Tinder.
You met on Tinder.
Yeah.
Nice. Yes. Well, a lot of the marriages I know have Tinder to thanks.
Yeah, before it kind of got really creepy.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. It took a dark turn shortly after. I think we were on it.
Yeah.
But you two met on Tinder. What was your first date?
We went to Ola Arepa and then
ate ice cream at the lake.
Yeah, and we went to Constantine.
Oh, we went to Constantine.
Yeah,
that's a good first date.
Yeah.
That's very good.
Yeah.
Yeah, and ice cream. So how did you end up like making ice cream and what became Baby Zito?
I mean, it first started as, a lot of our sense of our dates were centered around ice cream. And Gabby had the idea. I believe your exact words were, this may sound, what was it?
This is probably a bad idea, but what if our logo was a Cupid doll that looked like you?
Yeah, and then I was like, oh, we could roll with that. And then when we got it drawn up, we just fell in love with it. And then like we just kept like talking about this dream and just kept thinking about it. And then like one day you kicked me in the ass and you told us we're going.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you made ice cream a little
bit
before that.
I made ice cream in my previous jobs.
Yeah. Pastry chef life, oftentimes you end up making your own flavors. And yeah. I had your ice cream before you had your own shop as well. So,
yeah, no, I think a lot, somehow happenstance, everywhere I worked had an ice cream machine.
Oh,
so, like,
funny.
A lot of the times at the end of a job or end of a work, I'd like stay late and make ice cream instead of like, you know, like hitting the bar up or anything like that. I'd be like, yeah. Oh, I'm just going to hang out and make ice cream and play with recipes.
Ben and Gabby Spangler are part of Baby Zito, which has a location in the food hall, Malcolm Hall's food hall. Mm-hmm. Malcolm Yard's food
yes.
hall. Malcolm Hall's food hall. Malcolm Yard's food hall, which is right by Surly and close to the University of Minnesota. And then you also have a location off of Lindale, yes?
Yeah, 22nd and Lindale.
22nd and Lindale in Minneapolis. But the news today is about Eat Street Crossing, which is this really incredible combination of different restaurants that will be opening. And today you guys, Gabby, announced an opening date, right?
Yep. March 4th is grand opening.
Tell me about Eat Street Crossing and how you guys, why don't we start with what it's going to be? What will be inside this building?
So it's a really unique building. Some people may know it as the old Arizona building. So it's been home to a lot of really great artistic ventures over the years. But I know for this project in particular, it really transformed into a very special, unique food hall situation in Minneapolis.
So you'll have Bebezito.
Yes.
As ice cream, and then also burgers.
Yep, and the fried chicken.
And the fried chicken.
Yep.
But then you're doing another concept as well, right, Ben?
Yeah, so we're doing a Brazilian pizza shop. So we're taking...
what is Brazilian
there
pizza?
There we go.
Yeah, there we go. Everyone keeps asking. So it is a style of pizza that kind of... how do I phrase it? It's very topping heavy. So not a lot of sauce, not a lot of cheese, but expect a lot of really unique toppings and a lot of them. The dough is kind of similar to a Neapolitan, but it has more structure to hold all the stuff.
Okay.
And then we are also doing dessert pizzas as well. So they'll pair really nicely with our ice creams.
Perfect.
Yeah.
People can't get enough pizza. I am blown away with how many different, 10 years ago, we didn't have this many styles of pizza. And now you've got like Detroit pizza, which, you know, I guess like we had Little Caesars.
Yeah.
Right? I'll count it.
Which back in the day when it was square and
yeah.
Like, you're like, okay, Little Caesar. But like now we've got, there are just so many different varieties. New Haven pizza Sicilian, of course. Like,
yes.
It's just very interesting. What drew you to Brazilian pizza?
Well, so I grew up here and I, as like a kid, kind of joked and was like, there's no Brazilian food here in general. And
true.
Then it quickly evolved to, well, most Brazilian food that is available here are like the churrascarias, which
right.
is great. But like there's
kind of the all-you-can-eat meat festival.
Yes, yeah. But there's a lot more than just that. So
right. Fun. So you're going to bring some of that vibe.
Absolutely.
Awesome. Our guests are Ben and Gabby Spangler, Bebezito. Am I saying it right? How do you say
it? Yep, you've got it.
Bebe?
Yes.
Yeah. Bebezito. Your burger became sort of a crazy, obsessive cult favorite.
Yeah, that was wild.
So talk about that. Obviously, because you've been a regular chef, I don't want to say just an ice cream chef, but like, you know, you have made burgers before.
I've spent a lot of time in the savory kitchen as well, but I think for us, like, it was just a very smart marriage for a menu for us, because we knew since it was during the panorama and everything going on in Minneapolis, and we knew like being an ice cream shop in the
during
winter.
During the pandemic. Do you call it the panorama?
Yeah.
It's a little more fun. It adds a little fun to it.
Yeah.
Softens the edges.
Yeah.
In order to get through that winter, we knew we had to also have hot food. And Gabby found this beautiful food truck on Facebook Market. And the ideas just got weirder and weirder. And then we get the truck. We
you
open
bought,
it.
You bought a food truck on Facebook Marketplace?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And our bed.
Wow. It's really, you can get anything
there. It's true.
I got scammed out of $200 on Facebook Marketplace once. So you guys are clearly using it better than I was. You indeed took delivery of the truck. So well done.
Yes.
So we started it up, and then like we could only do weekends. So it kept selling out and selling out, and longer lines. And then we finally got enough staff to like have it more constant, and then the flow like. And in a time I think a lot of people want to eat indoors, it was a very, like, I don't know, it worked out very well in our favor for that specific thing. And then shortly after Malcolm Yards opened up, where we did it full time, and then it just kind of really exploded.
Bebezito is their first, but the pizza restaurant is called Oro?
Yes.
O-U-R-O. And then in each street crossing, you'll have also an incredible ramen and a sushi place from two of the other partners and founders of the food hall, right?
So John and Lena from Zenbox, they're doing John's doing like a traditional ramen shop, ramen shoten. And it's more of a traditional shop in the sense of like it's all standing room. So it's kind of more traditional Japanese where you stand and eat your ramen. And there's a lot of traditional sides. And it's different than what they're doing at Zenbox. And the food that they're putting out is incredible.
Yes.
And the sushi is definitely stuff that I have not seen in the city.
Mm.
And stuff where it's actually like the sushi dori they're doing a lot of fun things to eat. A lot of different I don't even know if you call them hand rolls because they're not rolled. They're just...
It's unique.
I don't know. You'll have to see it. I can't explain it that well, but it's incredible. My favorite is the spam one.
Yeah.
Opening in just about a month, so that's exciting.
Yeah.
We're going to take a break. I want to ask you about food halls because there have been a lot of failures in the food hall concept.
Yes.
You are in Malcolm Yard,
yes.
By far the most successful of any that have opened up, but we'll ask you about that. And your favorite restaurants to visit that are not your own.
Sounds good.
All of that as we continue with DeRussia Eats, brought to you by the Minnesota Pork Board and Liquor Boy, right here on News Talk 830 WCCO.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
DeRussia Eats continues, brought to you by the Minnesota Pork Board and Liquor Boy. Glad to have Ben and Gabby Spangler from Bebezito, soon to open Eat Street Crossing, opening on March 4th. So coming soon, there's a sushi, burger, boba tea, ramen, pizza. What more do you need?
Nothing.
Were you guys nervous about getting involved in a food hall? Because we've seen the number of food halls that have opened and have sort of floundered. Like, there are a decent number of those in the Twin Cities. And some of our listeners maybe don't know what a food hall is. It's not that different from a shopping mall food court, except with, like, local cool concepts is basically the best way, I think, to describe it. Were you guys nervous about it at all? Or
I think you're nervous with any new venture. But what's great about each food hall that we've been a part of is the curation of food that has been offered at each one. What we're really excited about is this one offers something different, and the other food hall that we're at also offers something different.
Yeah. Do you think that's the key? You know, I think sometimes I look at Malcolm Yards, which has so many incredible restaurants in there, but it also has the advantage of being very close to the university, very close to a super busy brewery in Surly and O'Shaughnessy, a distillery. I mean, it has all that density over there.
Yeah.
I think the location obviously has a part of it. And I think by like having the density, you're obviously a little bit more set up for success. But I think it's just like everything in culmination. Like you have like these great chefs all accumulated, and you also have them in a format. When you walk in, you're not like very confused and you're not overwhelmed. You're like, okay, I can see all these things, and you kind of know how to like navigate it. And it's new, but it's not foreign. So I think in Malcolm Yard's case, it was very it was just very clean and easy to understand. And I think for what we've learned. And applying for Eat Street is like just making sure like when your guest comes in that they just like they know where to go and like you have more
Do you pay at each spot? Do you get a card when you come in? All of that stuff is important too. Yeah. Ben Spangler, Gabby Spangler from Bebezito, Eat Street Crossing. Do people expect you guys to physically be at your location?
Our family does.
Like, where's Ben and Gabby? I should be getting free ice cream.
Yeah, I know exactly. Yeah. Like, you're not here. And I'm like, there's two of them.
And soon to be three.
Right.
Yeah.
How do you balance that? Like, you can't be at all the spots.
I think it. What I really
and you need time off. Too.
Yeah, I mean time off. That's fun.
It's cute.
But I think I think a really great element of what it is that we do is I'm working with my best friend, and by working with someone that knows where your strengths are and where your weaknesses are, it's almost like you've got two people that kind of fill out like what it is that needs to be done, and there's a great understanding of what needs to be done.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff that I miss the mark on, and Gabby will just like, just knock it out of the park. And I think we've been really fortunate, especially within the last few years, just like the staff, the team that we've created, and the overall vibe is just like everyone's really like cares, and everyone's like, if you're out of this, we'll help you with this. So it took us a while to like get that, but now that we have it, it's just like our team is everything, and then we're always there for each other. So
nice. All right, favorite three restaurants that you do not own. Gabby, what are your three?
So my three are, I'm going to do it based off of frequency of dining.
Okay, I like that.
I really love An's Thai. I love spicy food. Spicy food is actually very good for you with seasonal depression.
Ah.
So I get it the hottest it could be. And they always ask me, are you sure? And I'm like, yeah, I need this. Right. This is what I need.
Listen, white lady, are you sure you can handle that?
Pretty much.
Yes.
And then Dongyang, which is like they've got a deli in the back that does Korean food. So
yes, yes.
Love that.
Oh, that's a great selection.
And then Suki and Mimi, all of our locations aren't too far from there. That's where we go when we need to unwind after a really busy, scary service.
That's Kim's beautiful restaurant in Uptown.
Yes.
Incredible.
All right, Ben.
The places that I currently go to the most is definitely the Colonial Market and Restaurant on East Street. There's a taco restaurant in there.
I've never been there.
It's so good.
It's so good. Like $9.99, you get three birria tacos, the broth, and beans and rice, and it's just hits home. Not hits home, but just hits the spot. And Coastal Seafoods Cafe.
Underrated.
Oh, my God. No one talks about
that. Under the radar. It's so good.
Coconut shrimp I mean, everything there, the ahi tuna smash burger is wonderful, but, like, the coconut shrimp, like, I'll drive by that and be like, I got to make time, like, you guys. I'm going to be late.
Cool.
And then the Bungalow Club.
Oh.
Love that place.
Such talent there.
Yes. Yeah, they're wonderful.
And they make you – it's so, like, not pretentious. It's one of my top recommendations for people, like, if you're looking for a date night or a nice night out.
Absolutely.
Especially in the summer when that patio gets going.
Yeah.
Yeah, that patio is
– beautiful.
It's so awesome.
Cool. You guys, I'm so happy for you. It's really exciting to see, like, how the growth has happened and to have, like, two such nice people.
Aw.
Thank you.
I think it's
Thank
really
you.
Great. So congratulations.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, all right. Coming soon in March, you can go check out the new location, Eat Street Crossing. But you don't have to wait till then. You can go over to Malcolm Yards tonight.
Yeah.
I know they have like a bartender takeover tonight over there.
Yeah,
so I believe so.
Jesse Held, I think.
Yep.
Yes.
So there you go. It's a thing for charity. So go check it out and go get a burger and some ice cream. Thank you, guys.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having us.
4:30. Darusha Eats, brought to you by the Minnesota Pork Board and by Liquor Boy. We will take a break and do traffic and weather together in just a minute on CCO. In all my time in the Twin Cities, I've never seen such a problem with homelessness like we have seen over the last 2 years. We knew that there were people struggling with housing, but it wasn't out in the open. Because it's so cold in the Twin Cities, we just didn't have people sleeping under highway bridges or some of the stuff you see in other cities. That's changed. The growth in these tent cities kind of popping up has really, I think for a lot of us, put homelessness in our faces. The Star Tribune today did a story on some of the nonprofits and some of the ways that people have had to expand services to try to help out people who are living on the streets, even in the Minnesota winter. And I wanted to learn more about why some of these guys got involved and whether there's hope in this. Michael Gozy, the CEO of the American Indian Community Development Corporation, joins us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Michael, it's nice to talk to you.
Hello, good afternoon.
Your organization has done such great work in the American Indian, Native American community here in the Twin Cities for a long, long time. Tell me what got you guys involved in taking action as it relates to people on the streets.
Well, you know, it's nothing new for us. AICDC started in 1992, and at that time, it was the interest was homelessness. And so we opened up Anishinaabe Wakayagan in 1996 to address some of the concerns that were happening in those days.
That's that's a 45-bed kind of housing for unhoused people, right, with substance abuse issues?
Correct. You know, it's part of the Anishinaabe campus now, mm-hmm, that is Anishinaabe Wakayagan, Anishinaabe Begeewin, and Anishinaabe 3. And so we've expanded our services to meet the needs.
And so you've always been sensitive to this issue. Is it your sense that things are getting worse or that things are just more in the open? Or what's your sense on the homeless situation in our town?
It's definitely at the highest point that I've ever seen it also.
Yeah,
I think a lot of things feed into that. One is the investment of affordable housing by the state of Minnesota has been suspect over the last, you know, couple decades, really. We haven't spent a lot of effort or time or investment in creating affordability for a lot of folks. And I believe right now on a monthly basis, we lose more affordable housing that continues today.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's no question that household incomes and haven't kept up with certainly inflation over the last year, but even prior to the inflation explosion, you know, people aren't getting paid. People aren't making what they need to make to be able to afford rent down at the lower levels of kind of the pay scale. It's a major issue.
You know, and there's been some improvement with over the pandemic period of time where there were some resources available. You know, we were paying people $13 to $14 an hour, and now they're up to $18
yeah,
an hour, which
that's big,
which is close to
yeah,
livable.
Yeah. Yeah, but still the affordable housing options, like you said, just not available at this point. Michael Gozy is the CEO of the American Indian Community Development Corporation. They've been working on homelessness for years. The Star Tribune talked about how you guys have been taking like a shuttle bus out to drive people around in the overnight hours. Tell me about that.
Yeah, well, we've always had outreach in the daytime,
right?
But I always got a lot of pushback. What happens after 5 o'clock when everybody goes home?
Hmm.
And so we started an outreach program with the help of Hennepin County. We started the first week in January. So now we're out from 7 p.m. to 3 a.m. And we're looking for folks that are homelessness, needing some services, whether that's withdrawal management or ER services or taken to shelters or any place that's safe, warming centers, whatever we can do to help people get through some of the most difficult times.
Michael, from talking to other people who work on the issue of homelessness, I am concerned that there's a segment of the unhoused community that does not want to go to shelters because whether it's safety concerns, often it's that they don't want to follow the rules that some of the different, you know, homeless shelters have, whether it's, you know, not doing drugs or not drinking or not having sex, whatever the case may be. They don't want to follow those rules, and they feel they've found more community in these tent cities. What's your take on that, and what do we do about that as a situation?
Well, I think the situation has been really blown up due to the drug epidemic that we have right now, too.
It's the drug. You know, it's a drug problem. Interesting. Opioids.
You know, it is. You know, I deal with it on a daily basis. And again, I think there's a lot of hopelessness that leads people to, you know, any way they can escape. And I think fentanyl seems to be the method they're using today.
Yeah. And so that makes this almost more challenging, right? Because I think we know it's not safe, and it's not safe to have people living in tents along the side of a highway or in a neighborhood park. It's not safe for the people who are unhoused. It's not safe for the people who live in those neighborhoods. It's a challenging problem, and certainly everybody's heart breaks when you see the city crews go in there and kind of clear people out. That's no good either. It's hard. It's easy to feel hopeless. You know what I mean?
Right. You know, yeah, you know, I've been around for a long time now, and there are ways to address it, but we haven't been very good at looking at those ways. I think we have to be more willing to look at alternatives. But at the same time,
what do you mean by that? What are some of those ways that pop in mind to you?
Well, I think that we've done a poor job in just moving people from place to place. I call it whack-a-mole. All right. They pop up one area, we hit it, and then they pop up the next area, sometimes within a block away. All right. So what have we accomplished?
Right.
And so that I have a problem with.
But are people willing to take the services that are offered? You know, I mean, I think that's where you face this tension of like, all right, what can we do to give people a better option?
Well, my contention is that we're looking for irrational people to make rational decisions. And that doesn't really work. So I think there's a, you know, and people that have been in recovery, that have recovered from alcohol addiction or drug addiction, you know, will say that without being pushed, they probably would have never looked to the recovery as an example or as a place to go. And so I think that by just moving people, it's not enough incentive to get them to look at some of the options and understanding that we don't have some of the options that are needed as far as treatment options.
Treatment, for sure. Boy, Michael Gozzi, I'm so glad we had you on. This was just really illuminating and a terrific insight from you. I appreciate the work that AICDC has been doing for so long and does right now. Thanks for spending time with us, Mike.
My pleasure, sir. Anytime. Thank you very much.
Yeah, really good. We have to have these kinds of conversations to really understand what's going on. Everybody has an opinion when you see people who are homeless. Nobody wants that in your face, but also nobody wants to be homeless. So what can we do? And Mike bringing up the fact that treatment is a major issue he's seeing on the streets right now. 4:49, back in a minute here on News Talk 830 WCCO. So, Chris, today I was invited to a lunch put on by the Japanese Trade Association.
Okay.
It was a Wagyu beef.
Oh.
Right.
That's good stuff.
Yeah, it is. Japanese Wagyu. So it was at Kata no Mise, which is a great restaurant in the North Loop. And one of the guys I was sitting by was like, hey, are you going to talk about this on your show? I'm like, I don't know, like, how pretentious does it sound to be like, oh, you know what I had for lunch today? Wagyu beef.
Wagyu beef.
So Wagyu beef is like, it's extra marbled. It's from, they have American Wagyu, but this was actually from Japan.
Wow. See, now.
It gets rated, graded, all this stuff.
See, how do you know it's like, you know, people be, oh, well, I got it. How do you know it's not like one from like, you know, Rock County or something like
that. The Japanese Wagyu has like a certificate with an ID number and it's all trackable and all of that. But
okay. I've had it once and it was really good.
It's really good. You know when it tastes better? When you're not paying for it.
And well,
it's definitely nice.
Perks of being Jason.
CBS is coming up next.